Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over our dads today. What an honor to get to pray over dads. Church, isn't this a wonderful sight to see your dad down at the altar of the local church? I'm going to ask you a favor this morning. If you know somebody down here, that's your dad or your grandfather, your stepdad, or just somebody that's been a dad to you, I'm going to pray that blessing that we just sang about over our dads this morning. I'm going to ask you from your seat there, just stick your hand out forward. Your dad, or if he's sitting still beside you, just put a hand on his shoulder, and we're going to pray. You know, for dads to take a step and come down to an altar, sometimes there's just a lot of, it's kind of, some of us don't like to be in the spotlight, right? So they come down, but they're going to do what God's called them to do, and we're going to pray a blessing upon their life. Reach a hand out to your father today. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus to my Father today in heaven, my heavenly Father. Lord God, I pray right now a special blessing on each and every one of these fathers that are standing at this altar. For the fathers watching online, Lord God, throughout the states, throughout the countries that watch, Lord God, I pray that there's a special outpouring of a blessing. Lord God, I pray right now, if there is a father that feels that they have not been a great father, Lord, I ask that you speak to them today. I pray, Lord God, that you minister to them. Let them know it is never too late to be a great father. That their past is their past, that they can be a great dad today and every day in the future. Father God, for those that are standing here or watching online that says, I was a really good father. Lord God, I pray for them. I pray, thank you for them being a great dad, but I pray, Lord God, that they continue to be the father you've called them to be. A special blessing upon them and their families, Lord God. Their children's children. Lord God, bless them today. As the scripture teaches us, Lord God, give them that supernatural blessing. Father God, for the fathers today that need a physical touch of their bodies, many today, Lord God, I pray that on Father's Day of 2024, they will give testimony to their families that they were touched by the Almighty Father. Heal their bodies today, Lord. Extend them, stretch them, heal them, restore them, Lord God. And we thank you for the blessing, Lord. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we call this all done. Amen. Amen. Give our fathers a praise offering today. Hallelujah. Now, here's the real test. This is going to be a race. The first father back to their seat at Cross Point Church wins. Ready? Go. When you get your father back in your pew, you say, Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I'm not sure who won. I don't know, but maybe it's just the pastor's old eyes. I saw one of our fathers tripping the other father, right? Trying to get there. First, hey, I want to show you a video this morning. Now, if you're a grandfather, I want you to say to yourself, I remember that. If you're a current father, I want you to say, I remember that. If you are not a dad yet, you say, oh no, this is what I got to look forward to. Watch this video.
I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want. You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card? Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy, super easy. Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night. I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me?
Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again. I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life.
Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit.
We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18 is a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours? Thanks.
Right, Dad?
Whoa. Money really does grow.
Said no dad ever, right? Said no dad ever. Hey, I remember when the kids were really, really young, and we were in this restaurant, Chi-Chi's. Remember Chi-Chi's, right? Oh, yeah, Chi-Chi's. You know, and they're really, really, really young, and they're running around like the kids never did that, right? Can't keep them in their seats and all that stuff, and I'm exhausted, right? We had one that would never stay in the seat, the other one that didn't want to leave the seat, you know, and then we had the rest down the line. But, you know, I'm exhausted, and I'm saying, I can't wait till the kids get a little bit older, and I don't have to do this anymore. And this lady comes over to me, because I'm saying this out loud, right? And this lady comes over to me, and she says, what did you just say? I said, I can't wait till the kids get older. Then they won't act like this. It'll be a whole lot simpler. And she looks at me, and she says, you're a new dad. You're a new dad, because it doesn't get easier. It just gets harder. Dad, this is where you applaud, right? It just gets a little bit more difficult. Happy Father's Day to all our dads today. You know, what an honor. I remember becoming a dad for the first time. It was life-changing experience. And dads, it continues to be a life-changing experience every single day, is it not? And I'm going to tell you something, and I know you feel the same. I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't change it for the world. Today, we welcome you all in the house. We welcome you online. We welcome you listening to the podcast throughout this week, if you do that. Many do. And all the people and throughout the states that Mike talked about that watch us online, and it's a blessing that we see them coming on and saying where they're from and whatnot. We really don't know how many are there until afterwards, like after the broadcast, and we can start counting all the what is called an IP addresses that hit our signal during the week, and that's quite a few. So we welcome you to Cross Point Church, as I said before, Canton, Ohio, the vacation capital of the world, where every father goes on Father's Day, right? I got one thing to say, you guys. Will you just act like men? Right? Will you just act like men? Have you ever heard that, right? Now, I'm going to tell you something. On this Father's Day, I'm probably going to say some things that's not politically correct, right? But it's biblically correct, right? So I made this assumption when I was writing this sermon today, this message. I made an assumption that the people that would come into church today on Father's Day and would tune in online probably really want to hear biblically correct messages as opposed to politically correct. I just make the assumption. Is that a fair assumption? So if you hear something today on Father's Day that you think, oh, that's not politically correct, well, just remember to love me anyways, right? Just you know, I'm just going to preach it the way I know it, because I just feel like I got to say a couple things today. It might not be politically correct, but, you know, I got to be honest here. Here we go. Get ready. I really don't care, right? I don't care if it's politically correct. I just care if God says it's okay. See, I live my life by what the Bible says first as a dad, and then anything after that, whatever, right? But today we're going to talk about men and men acting like men. I think dads are important. I think they're really important. And I personally feel that we have decided as a society that they're not as important any longer. I just think that's kind of how we're going down this road, that we just don't think they're valued or their value is there. Let me read to you, church, some statistics. Did I say that? Statistics? I didn't say that right, did I? Statistics about dads, okay? And I'm going to talk specifically here for a second about fatherless homes, okay? Listen to this. 71% of all people incarcerated in jail today came from a fatherless home. They came from a fatherless home. 71%. I got a piece of paper here I'm trying to get rid of. Okay? Listen to this. 81% of all rapists came from a fatherless home. Now, after the series today, or pardon me, the message today, you can hit the sermon notes from the bulletin QR code, and you could see all this, so you don't have to necessarily write it down. You can get access to it. But 90% of all homeless and runaway children today came from a fatherless home. Fatherless home, right? 60% of youth suicides came from a fatherless home. Let's talk about children with no current father today in their home. So they don't have a father in the home today. 500% more likely to live in poverty or commit a crime. If dad's not in the home today, the statistics say that you're 500% more likely to live in poverty or go out and commit a crime. If there's no dad in the home today, you're 900% more likely to drop out of school. 900%. Listen to this last one. If there's no dad in the home today, you're 2,000% more likely to end up going to prison at some point in your life. Now, you don't have to get into biblical fatherhood or anything just to look at the statistics and say, it appears to me that a father is really important. It looks that way, right? And now you have to realize why the enemy fights so hard against our families today, right? Just goes after our dads today. Here's a quote I want to make you aware of. Listen, it goes like this. It should be on the screen behind me. If you want to change your world, change a continent. If you want to change your continent, change country. If you want to change a country, change the state. If you want to change the state, change the city. If you want to change the city, change a family. If you want to change a family, change a father. Change a father. So today, I'm feeling led as the pastor to change a dad. To change a father. So today, let's change a dad, okay? Now, here's something you just don't know about. I'm aware of it, maybe my wife's aware of it, but you're probably not aware of this, that Father's Day is not about dads. Father's Day is about the ladies. What? It's true. Why? Because we're going to change dads today. So ladies, if you're married to Father, today's the day. Because we're going to do what you've been waiting for all along. We're going to change your husband or the father, right? That's today. Now, ladies, if you're single and you're not married, right, you're single, I'm going to help change the guy that you're going to get stuck with at some point in the future. And today, see, it's really about ladies. We're going to help our dads be better dads. No matter what kind of dad they've been, we're going to help them be better. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. See there? Now, guys, if you were sitting by a lady that just said amen, okay? She owes you, right? She owes you today, right? But it's really about the ladies. So let's just dive right in. Have you ever heard the saying that goes like this? Come on, be a man. Be a man. Guys, have you ever heard that? Like, be a man. Ladies, have you ever said that to your husband or your fathers? Be a man. Come on. Be a man. What a saying to say, right? Be a man. You know, years ago, that had this meaning. Today, it has a different meaning than it did when I was growing up, which was like not too long ago, right? Right, right. I don't have any grandchildren, right? Yet. We don't have any grandchildren. We're still waiting. We're still waiting, right? But be a man. There's this saying that says, be a man. And we think right away, what does that mean? Before you can be a father, you have to be a man, right? Now, I know that might not be super politically correct today, but you've got to be a man before you can be a father. But, you know, we think about that saying, be a man, and we all have this thought process that we think, like, what does that mean? And we all have that filter. And if you're watching online, you've got this filter that says what that means to you, right? Be a man. I know what that means to me because I heard it growing up. So let me tell you some of the things. I did some research on that comment of be a man, and here's some things I found. And it was unbelievable. The very first one I come across is what my mom used to say to me when I was growing up. You know, she was always into act like an adult. Like when I got to be a teenager, she'd say, act like an adult, right? You know, she'd say to me, you're not a kid anymore, act like a man. So I heard that. You're not a kid anymore, act like a man. So I put my own definition in there. What does that mean? Does that mean grow up? Does that mean pick up my room? Does that mean, you know, go get a job? I don't know, right? Act like a man. So that was like a real big thing as I'm doing research. You know, act like a man, you're not a kid anymore. I read things about being a man meant you're emotionally secure or emotionally mature. You're solid, right? I read things about financial security. Like that was like huge. Being a man, you're financially secure. You're taking care of your family. And then I read things that says it's massively sexist. And it's a stereotype that we don't use anymore. Because there's not men and there's not women, there's just people. I don't believe that. But I see that and read that. And I read this quote of all the research. It took me hours poring over this research of be a man. And I found this quote. Let me read it to you. It goes like this. When someone tells me to be a man, this was on a chat board, on a forum, online. It says, when someone tells me to be a man, I stop paying attention to them. Because they don't like the word, the connotation of be a man. So I thought, well, that's really interesting. So what does the world out in the internet world think that be a man means? Because I'm going to get to what it means in God's world. But here's what it means in the internet world. Let me read to you a definition, church. And it goes like this. The phrase be a man is an idea that refers to exhibiting qualities or behaviors that are traditionally associated with masculinity. These qualities can vary depending on the culture and may include traits such as strength, courage, assertiveness, independence, and the ability to suppress being vulnerable or sensitive. The ability to suppress vulnerability or sensitivity means you're a man. The concept, what it means to be a man, is highly subjective. Highly subjective. And can be influenced by individual beliefs, society norms, or historical context. Wow. Ultimately, the notion of being a man is a socially constructed idea that is constantly evolving and now means different things to different people. Now means different things to different people. Be a man means something different to every individual. So when you say be a man, just like I said a second ago, we have a filter now that means whatever we want that to mean. Be a man. It's essential to approach these concepts with an open mind, an open perspective, considering the diversity and complexity of the human experience and all its identities. Wow. Church, I gotta tell you, that is a lot to digest. And I'm here to tell you, it is not that complicated. And I'm going to set the stage as to why, because it's not how God established being a father. To be a father, first, you have to be a man. And God identifies and shows us what that means. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, buckle your seatbelts on Father's Day. Let us make mankind in our own image. Mankind, humans, in our image, God the Father and God the Son, in our image, he says, in our likeness, and that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creation that move, creatures that move along the ground, all of creation and all those creatures. So, that's what God was thinking about. That's what he's going to do. So God created it. This is what he's thinking about doing, and now he's going to do it. So God created mankind, humans, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. And once he created them, in his mind, and he set it to motion, he decided that these ones over here were going to be what called male. And the ones over here were going to be called female. And he decided there would be two genders. There would be male genders, and then over here, there would be female genders. And I'm going to tell you something, church. You are in one of the two genders on Father's Day today. You are. Why? Because the Father in heaven ordained it to be so. Be a man. Right? So God created mankind. And he made male and female, he created them. And then verse 28, as a result of what he thought about, as the process of what he did in his creation, he said, I'm going to bless it now. Why did he say that? Because it's exactly what he wanted. I am the Lord thy God, the Father in heaven. This is what I want. This is how I mixed it up. This is how I created it. And now I'm going to bless it. So he says, God bless them. Blessed who? Males and females. And then he gave them a commandment. Because you are able to do this, you can now go be fruitful. Why? Because I created it to be that way. So go be fruitful, the Bible says, and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. And he blessed it that way. See, it's not that hard. It's just not that difficult. And you know, you don't have to believe in God this morning, church, to realize that that's the only way you can procreate. Male here. Female here, and God said, I blessed it like that. Now, go be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and rule over it. And I then will bless you for it. Church, it's not hard. So when we say be a man, some of us think about gender, and some of us think about maturity and some of those adjectives that I just described, assertiveness and courage and all those. It just depends. But we're getting things kind of all messed up. And I just was feeling so led today as the pastor of Cross Point Church to kind of set the record a little bit straighter. What better day to be a man, right? So God lays out the gender right from the get-go. And man fights against it ever since, right? And it's worse today than ever. And God says in Psalms, I'm going to bless you now. And if you want this blessing that I talked about, so he sets up the gender, and then he's going to set up being mature in your faith. And so he starts in Psalm 1, 1 through 2. He says, blessed is the man, let's talk about all down mankind, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means you're not going to take advice from the ungodly people. You'll listen, but you're not going to take advice from them, right? Nor stands in the path of sinners, congregates, hangs out. We minister to them, but we're not going to hang out with them. Nor sits in the seats of scornfuls. That means we're going to set ourselves apart. If you want to be a man, you set yourself apart. Be his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. You spend time being a man in the presence of a Father in heaven. That's where you hang out. That's where you're a man. See, the scripture tells us how to be a man. The scripture tells us how to act like men. And I'm going to show you that this morning, church. Be a man. What does that mean? The Apostle Paul says it means to act like men. But he's not talking about gender. He's not talking about gender. We have defined the gender in our society today when God ordained gender from day one. But we have decided that we're going to change it and make it different. We used to agree on what gender was. When I was a kid, there was no debate. Today, there's a monumental debate of what it is, but God had already established it. When I was a kid, the behavior of a man and the behavior of a woman was established. It just seemed like God, yep, that's what God wanted, right? That the man was a masculine person and the woman was more feminine. There's nothing wrong with that, right? And there's, of course, this sliding scale. Some women are a little bit less feminine and some men are less masculine. Nothing wrong with that, right? God created in his image, right? But the Apostle Paul taught the men how to act like men. And you're going to see that this morning. And he's not talking about gender. Why? Because God already established gender. The Apostle Paul clarifies acting like a man in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14. Let's watch. It should be on the screen behind me. It goes like this. Be watchful, he says. Stand firm in your faith and act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, I don't know if you know the history of the Corinthian people in Corinth. It was a bustling, happening town, city, right? Back in the day. They had Jews coming to Jesus. They had Gentiles coming to Jesus. They had people with all walks of life trying to figure this whole thing out. And right in the middle there was a lot of sexual sin, just like today. And people were confused and they didn't understand. And here is this guy on a second missionary journey. He's writing back to them saying, listen, I'm not there now, but be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. I taught you well. Stand firm. And then he makes this declaration to the guys, come on, act like men. And what's he saying? He's saying, grow up. You're not kids anymore. Be a man. What does that mean? He's saying be mature in your faith, be strong in your faith, and be courageous in your faith. That makes a man, he says. See, the Apostle Paul dealt with being a child before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he dealt with being a kid. It says like this, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood like a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away my childish things. I don't act like that anymore. I'm mature, strong, and courageous. The act like men context in the English Standard Version of 1 Corinthians 16, 13, when he says act like men, he's not talking gender. He's talking about maturity. God established the maturity of the man. So we have to ascertain for that. We have to work towards that. We have to aspire to act like men. We want to be mature in our faith, right? The act like men comes from the Greek word androsomi. Androsomi is the Greek word there. When it says act like men, the Greek word in the original Greek is androsomi or androsomai, right? That's the Greek word. And what does that mean? It means to make the man. Who makes the man? The Father in heaven created the gender of man, and then he works on the man to make the man more mature, more strong, more courageous in their faith. I'm going to make myself a guy. And he physically creates man. But then he starts to work on the men to act like men and be matured, strong, and courageous in their faith and grow in their faith. And he's going to work on that until the day he calls you home. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get through to us. It's like a grow up, be mature. Let's do this together. I believe in you. I believe in you guys. You can do it. It doesn't look that great where you're sitting right now in this awful city. It's a rough city. Just like today, it's rough in the situations that a lot of our men are in. They're bombarded with different things from society, from the news, from TV, from whatever you listen to. It's a constant thing. Now we're being told, don't be a man. It's kind of like a bad thing to be called a man. It's kind of like we can't say act like men. People get offended. Church, men of Cross Point Church, act like a man. Be strong in your faith. Be mature in your faith. Be courageous that you aren't afraid to go out and speak Jesus. Right? You know, the same verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13 in the NIV, the New International Version. I read it to you in the English Standard Version, but here's how it reads in the NIV. It reads like this. Be on guard, stand firm in your faith, be courageous and be strong. Because that Greek word means be a man, become a man, be strong and courageous. So that version of the Bible uses the word strong and courageous. So the Apostle Paul was saying, listen, grow up. Be strong and courageous in your faith. Guys, today, be strong and courageous in your faith. Be unapologetic on Father's Day and every day. Do what we have to do. Grow in your faith, and don't be ashamed of it. Guys, I just want to give you a few points today. I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to talk a few things to help you along. And then before you leave today, I want to give you something to help you remember today. Now, I love my guys, so I'm not going to give you a candy bar today, right? I'm just not going to do that because I know they do that on Mother's Day because that's my wife's favorite thing to do is eat chocolate, right? But I don't need to eat chocolate. I want something that I can hold on to. I want something that I can have every day. I know that I had those chocolate bars. I had 5 chocolate bars. And I shouldn't have because there was a few left over. Well, the guys got some extra leftover chocolate bars, right? And so I had probably several of those. Now, I know that if you remember right on Mother's Day, those chocolate bars were like this big. And inside the one big chocolate bar was 5 little chocolate bars. Right? And when I was opening, I was thinking, okay, if I opened a little chocolate bar, would I get 5 more little chocolate bars inside? I didn't. But here's the story. So I go to open one of the chocolate bars that I ripped, and there's no chocolate bar inside. The Mother's Day chocolate bar ripped me off. Right?
because I'm a dad, right? Today, I'm not going to do that to you guys. I'm going to give you something to hold on to that you can wear. But I want you to understand the context of why you're going to grab something before you leave today. I saw some of the ladies when they went out and they had their chocolate bars on Mother's Day. They had those chocolate bars gone before they got to the car. Did they not? My wife was leaving the church on that Sunday a few weeks ago, and she had half her chocolate bar ate before we got to the truck. Right? That's true. That's okay. But we're gonna give you something a little bit to hold on to. Now, it's not as big as that chocolate bar, but the meeting's gonna be there, right? We love those chocolate bars, right? We love those chocolate bars. Guys, we need to believe that we can do better. We gotta believe that we can do better. Anything's possible, right? Right? Anything is possible. We can be better than where we are today. Now, like I said in the prayer, some fathers think that they did a great job, and they probably did. I could look back at raising the kids, and I could say, I did really good here, but boy, did I not do well over here. Now, I hope my kids forgive me, because I was no perfect father. There's only one perfect father, and I serve him in heaven, but I did the very best I could do. But here's what I know. Dads, fathers today, we can always do better. And it's never too late. But you got to believe you can do better. You got to believe that you can better. You can't just live on what happened in the past. You got to believe that you can do better. And let me go through a few things with you today, because a lot of times we don't believe it. We don't believe that we can do any better. We kind of like, we're failures at times, and I've known and counseled many fathers that feel like they just can't do better. They failed. The thoughts like this, believe you could be a better person, be a better dad, a better man, and be a better father. And I'm going to ask the dads today, no matter what your experience with your father or you being a father, I want you to leave here today believing that no matter where you're at, you could do better. I could do better. I can't fix where I stumbled with my children as they grew up and as they're adults. I can't fix it, but I could be better today. And so I tried to do that. Now, I was a tough love father. You got to do this, and I'm not going to handhold you all the time. I handheld you 10,000 times, right, Mom? You know, how many times? But this time you're going to do it by yourself. You can do it because I believe in you. I believe that we could do better. See, folks, we live by what I call simple faith or simple belief. We rely as dads on our personal experiences in the past to determine how we're going to do tomorrow. And that takes the God factor out. This is the way I was a father. This is the way I am today, or grandfather, or however, you're right, or stepfather, or great friend, whatever. You know, whatever it is. And I rely on this, what I call simple faith or simple belief, really is what it is. Simple belief that I'm going to do exactly what I did before because that's what I know and that's what I see. And so I believe I got to do just enough. I believe that I got to do just this much. And because I did that much when I was yesterday and I'm doing the same thing today, so I can't believe outside of my simple belief that I could do anything better. And that takes the God factor out of it, church. The thoughts like this, anything is possible, is a faith that ventures into the realm of the unseen and the unknown. Dad, you got to look at something. God still is in control. He still has your life. It holds on to hope and conviction even without proof or visible results. I wasn't really a good dad yesterday. I'm going to be a better dad tomorrow. God, give me strength. Let me be more mature tomorrow than I was yesterday. Let me have more courage tomorrow than I had yesterday. Let me have strength that I didn't have. Nothing is impossible. The fathers that I counseled in the past, and they would say this phrase. They say, Pastor, it's too late for me. It's too late. And I would spend hours and hours in counseling sessions saying, it's never too late to be a great dad. It's never too late. My kids will never forgive me. Yes, they will. Because they're waiting for you to be a great dad. Do it. And watch what happens. But you got to believe it. Pastor, it's impossible. I can't. You got to believe for the impossible. Because when you believe for the impossible, God shows up. When you believe for the impossible, God shows up. Let me give you a story that's in God's word. There's a boy that's possessed by an impure spirit. I'll get to the scripture in a second. So he's got this impure spirit in him. And he's got this dad that wants him healed, right? The dad wants him healed. And the dad comes across Jesus. And he makes this phrase. He makes this statement to Jesus. I'm going to read it to you in a second. If you can, do this for me. Dads, how many times have we said that? If you can for my kids, if you can for me. Let's jump to the scripture and watch what happens. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to that father. So the father comes up to Jesus and says, my son has got this impure spirit. So if you can do something for him, would you? And Jesus says, what? He says to the father, you said to me, if you can. And Jesus says back to him, all things are possible for the one who just believes it can. Church, fathers, you can be better than you were yesterday. You can do it better. You can mature in your faith. You can be strong and courageous, as Paul says to do. And when that father who wanted his child, his boy, to be healed, he looks at Jesus, if you can. And Jesus doesn't even address it right away. He looks at him and says, you've got to address something else before I address the boy. I got to address your doubt. I got to address the fact that you just said, if you can. And he says to him, all things are possible. We've used the scriptures like that before. Because he's saying it's more important for me to address the fact that you're a father and you're not believing I could do it as opposed to bringing him here in the first place. I can do it, but I'm going to do it because you're going to decide and not doubt that I can do it. Church, dads, that's where we get stuck. We get in this situation where we say to our Heavenly Father, if you could just do this thing for me, if you could just do this thing for my child, if you could just, and right away, we come to the Heavenly Father as a father, and we doubt him. And then we wonder sometimes why he makes us wait so long. I think he's waiting for us to come and say, I know you can. And so Jesus identifies that. He changes his thinking. I got to change how you're thinking, because when you say, if you can, it equates to doubt. Church, if you're doubting if God wants to make you and your family better, you may be waiting for your family to be better. Don't say to the Heavenly Father, dads, if you can. You should say, I know you will. I know you will. I know you will. You remove the doubt. And the only thing left there, church, fathers, is the time frame. When we say, if you can, God's got to deal with our doubt as dads first before he could get to the time frame of fixing the problem. Sometimes we just stay with the doubt part for so long, the problem continues to fester. Dads, I'm going to tell you right now, be strong and mature in your faith, strong and courageous as the Apostle Paul talks about. And go to the Heavenly Father and believe. And don't say, if you can, say, I know you will. I know you will. Right? Let's move on. Guys, focus on your God-given potential. Dads, you have something special. You've got this God-given potential. What's potential? Work that hasn't been completed yet. Work that has not been completed yet. Let me explain to you a few things. Let me give you my top 10 list. Does anybody remember Dave Letterman? Right? Dave Letterman. Now, I wasn't a big Dave Letterman fan, but he had this thing called the top 10 list. I'm going to give you your pastor's top 10 list when it comes to focusing on your God-given potential as a dad today. What is the number one thing of potential? It's dormant ability inside of you. It's dormant ability. It's untapped power inside of a dad today. It's hidden strength inside of a dad today. Many of us understand what that means. We've got hidden strength that we didn't even know we had until something happened in our family, especially our kids, and all of a sudden we pulled on hidden strength, right? It's reserved energy. It's unused success. Potential is all you can do that you have not done yet. It's all you can become, but you haven't become yet. It's potential. It's who you really are, but no one knows it yet. It demands that you never settle for what you haven't accomplished yet or what you already accomplished. Guys, your potential is trapped inside of you waiting for you to unlock it. It's there, Dad. It's sitting inside of you. And let me give you an example. We know King David in the scripture. He goes to God and he says to his heavenly father, I want to build a temple to put the Ark of the Covenant in, the dwelling place of God in the Old Testament. I got to restore that. I got to build this building. And God loved that. He honored that. But the potential was not in David to do it. The potential was in Solomon to do it. The untapped energy was in Solomon. And in 1 Chronicles 28:20, it reads like this. So David says to Solomon, who's his son, it's you that's going to build this. Be strong and courageous and do the work. Notice, he recognizes you're going to need strength. That's why Apostle Paul wrote about it like a long time later. Got to be mature. You're my son. I would love to build this, but I'm not the one that's got the potential to get it done. You are. God selected you. So you got to be strong and courageous. He's given him this charge. Be strong, courageous, and guess what? Go do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord thy God, my God, is with you. He will not fail. He won't forsake you until all this work will be done. Excuse me. The service of the Lord will be finished. Do the work. Now I'm going to show you something that you probably have never seen before. David wants to build it. You go back and do the study. David wants to build it. God says, no, the potential's in Solomon, your son. I'm going to have him do it. You give him a charge to do it as a good father should do. And you tell him to go build that temple. Get it done. The dwelling place of God, the Ark of the Covenant. This is where God's going to dwell. But today, church, today the temple is in the building. The temple is you and I. The temple is the dad and the mom, the male and the female. The dwelling place of God is in each and every one of us. So the charge that King David gave his son to build a structure, to hold God, he says, be strong and courageous, be mature, act like a man, and get the work done. Today he says the same thing, but he doesn't say it about a building. He's not saying it about going out and pounding a nail. He's talking about you and I now, today. Be strong and courageous. Be mature. Act like men. Go do what God's called you to do. You've got the potential to do it. And today is your day to do the work. See, church, potential is the key to unlocking the impossible that you're believing for. It's the key to unlock it. Jeremiah 29:11, my wife's favorite verse, for I know the plans I have for you. That means potential. God looks at Jeremiah and says, I got something for you. I know your potential. Here's my plan. Here's my plan. You've got potential, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, give you hope and future. That's what I've got for you today. That's the potential inside of you, but you still got to go do the work. Number three, as we bring it in for our landing, guys, I want you to realize success is just a state of mind. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Where is our success as dads defined as. Now King David is dying, and he gives a new charge to his son Solomon. And this time, he's saying how to be successful. See, it's a state of mind. He told him before, if you build this, and you're strong and you're courageous, be mature, be acting like a man, and go do the work. Now he's dying, and he's going to give him a new charge, and here's the new charge. 1 Kings 2:3 says, observe what the Lord your God requires. That means pay attention, Dad. Dads, pay attention. Heaven's got something for you today. I just am addressing a lot of it. You'll leave here today with more things that God will give you. Pay attention. It says, walk in obedience to him. I charge you. Son, be strong in your faith and courageous and be mature. And keep the decrees and the commandments, the laws and the regulations. Do this, then you may prosper. That means then you will be successful. The state of a mind he's trying to explain to him is, here's how I'm going to lay it out. If you do all these things, you will be successful. Because it's a state of mind just to be successful. And God tells him how to do it. And then he says this, in all that you do and wherever you go, you will be successful. And I just laid out the roadmap. We can be better. We can believe, dads, that we can be better. It's not impossible. Believe in the impossible, that God can restore things that you think you didn't do a good job at. He's focused on that potential inside of you. Focus on that. Because God gave it to you to prosper you, not harm you, to give you hope in the future. It's there. If you're not feeling it, it's there. Focus on that. And remember that success. It's not on earthly things. It's on heavenly things. That's success. So, church, as we bring this in for a landing today, I want to pray over you, but I want to tell you, dads, when you're leaving today, on the podiums in the back, as you're leaving, there's a black band that I want to gift you today. And one of those black bands says, believe for the impossible. Dads, you got to believe. If you need that today, if that is you, Dad, if you need to feel, but I guess got to believe better, I want you to grab that band and put it on your wrist. If you're a dad here that says, I believe, but I'm struggling with focusing on the potential that God's placed inside of me as a dad, I want you to grab the one that says, focus on my potential. Focus. If you're focusing and you're believing, but you're feeling like you're just not successful, grab the one that says success. Get the one that says success. And you put that on your wrist throughout the week, and it will remind you and keep you focused on what you need to do. When I play baseball, I wear one of these. It kind of keeps me grounded because no matter where I go on the baseball field, I can look down at my wrist and I can say, focus, believe. Be a success today. And I define my success on the baseball field as speaking life, not how I do. If it was on how I do on the baseball field, I would fail every week. I define my success as who I touched today. Who did I preach to and witness to? Was I successful when I lead the field with at least one person? And I'm doing better now than I ever have. Now it's showing up online. You've seen the Facebook stuff. Dads, let's pray together. And we believe as men that we will act like men. That we believe that God's got something better for us, in store for us. That there's hidden potential inside of us to get the job done, to do the work. And then when we get there and we say that's successful, it's a state of mind. It's because where success is defined by heaven, not on earthly things. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I pray for the dads today. I pray, Lord God, that they believe in Jesus' name, that you place them in this situation to do the impossible. So make it possible today. And Lord God, let them focus on their potential, things that lie dormant inside of us that we just got to draw from. Lord God, let us be what the Apostle Paul teaches us to do, be mature and act like men. Grab that unleashed potential inside of us, Lord God, and let us do what you've called us to do with it. Lord God, let us be successful at it. Realize that state of mind that we call success is on heavenly things and not earthly things. As the scripture teaches us, the earthly things will pass away, but the heavenly things remain eternal. Bless our fathers today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me as we close. Father's Day 2024. I want to bless you and love on you. Dads, grab one of the bands that you need as you leave the sanctuary today. But let's do this as we're leaving. Let's go out with a big shout on Father's Day 2024. God bless you, men and women.